have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua, chapter 3. Amen. We believe in God to touch and minister this morning with the power of His grace. Amen. We're glad to have you in the house of the Lord. Joshua, chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. And all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of your Lord God and the priest of the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know that the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way hitherto. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for the morrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. And they took the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of Israel, and they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Havites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. For behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribe of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And it shall come to pass that as soon as the sole of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord, that the Lord of all earth shall rest the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass that when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, that the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, that as they bear the ark, were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth from its banks all the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon the heap very far from the city of Adam. That besides Zaratan, those that came down toward the sea to the plain and the salt sea failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us today and help us, God, to draw closer to you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on the subject simply entitled Crossing Over Jordan. Now, Moses has died and Joshua's in charge. They're at a critical point. They've been here before. I don't know if y'all read the story, but when they came out of Egypt, they came to the Jordan River, and instead of crossing the Jordan like they could have, they decided they wanted to keep marching in the wilderness, and they spent 40 years on a two-week journey. Because every time they get to the Jordan, they'd say, oh, let's go by Sinai one more time. And they'd turn, walk around that village. And they were so used to doing, let's face it, it was easy living. They had manna every day to eat. Their clothes never did wear out. The shoes never wore out. They had water to drink. They had all kind of food. When they got tired of eating manna, they complained God sent a bunch of quail by. Lord. Not bad. And the guy told me, he said, I don't know that I'd want to eat manna for 40 years. If you understand, manna means what is it? Actually, it is believed by some Jewish writers that manna actually tasted by what you wanted. So it wasn't the same thing every day. You decided you wanted some chicken, it tastes like chicken. You decided fish, it tastes like fish. If you decided pork, you couldn't eat it. Smile. Some of y'all get that in a minute. Glory. But the reality is that all those 40 years, they've done that, but something else happened during that 40 years also. All those that were born in Egypt died, except for two young men who were now in charge, and Aaron, the head of the Levites. And now they're marching, and they're getting ready to cross over Jordan. And they send spies into the land, and the spies come back talking about, you really don't want to cross that river, buddy. It's bad over there. And all of a sudden, one of them says, I found this one city, and they had dudes over there with some big, we were ankle high to them. No way we can whip those guys. They got spears and shish kebab, six or seven of us at a time. We don't want to fight those people. We stay here. They got corn. They're not warlike. We can handle them. Here comes Joshua. Anybody, Caleb? And they come strolling back across going, why ain't y'all loading up? We're supposed to be leaving. And all of a sudden the people going, wait a minute. Jericho, the big city over there, it's never been defeated. You can't get in it. I slept there last night. I was inside the city. Lady put us up. Hit us from the army trying to kill us. We're okay. And all of a sudden, the other turned and said, but you ain't seen those tall guys. And Caleb said, oh, yeah, I saw them. He said, I was looking out praying. And said, God set his foot down beside them, and they ain't going to hide to my God. And God said, I'll give you this mountain. Amen. Hello? Joshua turned around. And he said, hey, I got a battle plan for Jericho. Aren't y'all glad he didn't explain that battle plan before they crossed the river? Because I can see some folks going, we ain't following this dude. He got sun problems with his brain. Because the battle plan was to march around the city one time each day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day and blow the trumpets and watch the walls fall. He gets them across the river before he shares that with them. But he says, we need to cross over. And, you know, the people aren't really excited about it because they're used to Moses helping them. And even Joshua questioned God. He said, you know, Moses held up the rod and it parted the sea. Moses touched the rod and water came out. Moses did all these things. And notice what God said. He said, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And then in Joshua chapter 3, he said, today I'm going to start lifting you up in the eyes of the people so the people will know that as I was with Moses, I put my hand on you and I'm going to lead you. Church, we need to understand something. We can live in the past or we can move into the future. Jordan is that stands between us and the promises God has made us and the things God wants to happen in our lives. And when we get to Jordan, we got to make up our mind. Is it going to be business as usual, or am I willing to pay a price to get through the problems before me so I can find the place where God wants me to be on the other side and live in the glory that God has for me? Glory. Jordan simply means descending or flowing down. Amen. Now, there's a reason for that. If you ever get a chance to go over there, you're going to find out something. If you ever go down around the Sea of Galilee in that area, around Tiberias, if you go to the diamond shop to buy a ring, the first thing you need to understand, whatever that ring is, it's going to have to be a little bit smaller than what you buy. Because what you're going to buy, it's going to be actually going to be a little bit bigger than what you want to buy because you're several hundred feet below sea level. The area around the Dead Sea is the lowest point on the face of the earth. And when you get to Tiberias, you're 700 feet below sea level where the Sea of Galilee is. And if you don't watch it, you'll buy a ring, you'll get it on your finger, it'll look good, and all of a sudden you'll go back up to regular sea level and your finger will get bigger. You didn't gain weight, it's just your body smaller. I kind of enjoyed myself while I was there. But the reason I can tell you that is I had a friend bought a ring. He had to get it resized after he got home because it wouldn't go on his finger. It was about to fall off when he bought it. And he said, well, I don't want to get it no smaller. But he really should have got it a lot of size or two bigger because it was so far below sea level. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? The headwaters of the Jordan River go north of the Sea of Galilee. They run down through the place and they come through. Where it comes out of the lake, it's about 230 feet above sea level. When it begins to flow down, it runs an area that gets about 700 feet below sea level and eventually goes to the Dead Sea, which is 1,290-something feet below sea level. Hello? And so it's actually dropping the whole time it's running. And so the water is moving. There are 27 sets of rapids on the Jordan River. It's 70 miles is the area that it covers from the time it leaves the Sea of Galilee to get to the Dead Sea. But because it's got so many crooks and turns in it, it actually is over 200 miles long. Glory. You say, well, preacher, that's all well and good. And in most places, it's 3 to 10 feet deep. But it runs real fast. And so it's hard to cross. But now to make it even worse, during the harvest season, it floods and covers the entire valley. So something that's normally 10 to 15 feet wide has suddenly got out till it's miles wide. And they're there, and all of a sudden you can hear some of them going, you know, we could hang around here till it went back down. It'd be a lot easier to get across. And Joshua said, the Lord said, this is a day we're supposed to go over. It may cost something, but we got to get to the other side of Jordan. We got to make it to the other side. And for that reason, Joshua said, guys, it's time for us to arm up, get the Ark of the Covenant in front of us, and pass over Jordan. And because of that, we're going. Hello? Somebody said, well, preacher, do you really believe that's what's necessary? I believe this church for years has had the opportunity to cross over Jordan and has not made that crossing because every time you get to a certain point, it begins to look like it's too hard to go any farther. And we throw in the towel and we give up and we say, well, why we need to do that? We're all right just like we are. But if we're not where God wants us to be, we are not all right where we are. And if we're not doing what God wants us to do, we are not all right just doing what we're doing. And I believe the prophecies have been said and the people have told us that God's expecting something out of this congregation. And because of that, we need to man up and we need to get a hold of the glory of God. And we need to prepare ourselves to cross the Jordan River into the presence God wants us to be in. Somebody said, preacher, do you believe that? It's a dividing line to the place where we're forced to decide if we're going to be trusting in God or if we're going to just be the arm of the flesh to take care of us. Everybody's got a Jordan. Any of y'all know of Jacob? Any son of Abraham? Isaac? The grandson of Abraham, son of Isaac? The name Jacob means liar, supplanter. Boy, he was good at it, wasn't he? Cheated his own brother out of his birthright, and he was all the time conniving, trying to get into something. He takes a job with his uncle to marry the woman he loves and goofed up and messed the wrong girl and married her. Hello? It's in the Bible. Don't look at me. So he got to work another 7 years to get the one he wants. When he finally decides it's time to go, he just takes his herds and leaves. And all of a sudden now his uncle's not real happy with him because he's thinking he got some of his sheep and goat and cattle, and he knows he's got his grandkids. And now he's got all these problems going on. And in the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis, or 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis, we find something important about this man. Now, let me ask you something, church. How many of y'all know a man got 12 kids, two wives at least, and he sleeps by himself in a tent? I mean, when my kids was little, I had one wife and two kids, and I hardly ever got in the bed by myself. I could go lay down on the couch and one of them would find their way in there with me. I remember when I blew my knee out in 91, I was laying on the couch one night, kept hearing something, and my son was in the hall playing in the dark. Had a big time. But notice what the Bible said. It said, and Jacob was left alone. He's all by himself in the tent. Why? Because he's conniving again. Things have gotten tough. And instead of going ahead and bowing up and handling the problem, he finna do what Jacob does best, run. That's why he's by himself. He figured he'd slip out of that tent, get out of there, let the family take care of themselves. Hello? Say, now, preacher, you can't prove that. That was his way. Don't have to prove it. That's what he always done. Trouble came, he was gone. But he had a little problem this night. He's laying there getting ready to leave, and all of a sudden this guy strolls in the tent, and they end up fighting. I had a guy ask me one time, he said, preacher, what do you believe the spiritual
significance is of that man coming in the tent and them getting in a fight. I said, first of all, if I'm laying in a tent in the middle of the night, some dude walks in there, I don't know. We've been out at it. Don't look at me like that. Are you telling me you be laying in the bed, some dude come walking down the hall at your house, you're going to go, hey, how y'all doing? Do I need to get up and cook? Are y'all going to be here all night? Let me get them glasses off so I can see your reaction. Some of you going. I got tickled. I was showing my neighbor the other day something about my house. He said, well, you know, if they come in my house, I'm not going to call the police until after I killed them. Yogi seen him get out of his car and go in one day and look at me and said, preacher, what's he got? And I said, it's an M16. He's working for the ABI, the SWAT man, and he got one of them he carried in the house every night. So I don't believe I'd break his house. I said, well, let me tell you what, I think I'll have them call you if something sets mine off. Glory. Hello? I told somebody one time, somebody broke my house, I'd probably shoot them. They said, preacher. I said, I'll pray for them when it's over. But I figured somebody break my house, come down the hall. They're not asking for a donation to the Blue or Red Cross. I think they want to get shot. Must be if they come in my house and me asleep. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm not coming to your house. Don't do it while I'm asleep. You're in good shape. You can come any other time. But if I'm in a bed of sleep, it don't pay to wake me up. Ask Frida. I told her and told her and told her. My daddy don't even shake me. She walked over and shook me one day. And before I could catch myself, I broke her glasses, blacked her eye. I sprang, whoom. I caught her before she hit the floor. You know, I never convinced everybody it wasn't intentional. Glory. But if I'm sound asleep and you grab me, I got this thing about me. It's called survival mode. I come up swinging if you close. Glory. My daddy always just got a cold glass of water. So, not only did he wake me up, but he got my attention for 2 or 3 days till the mattress got up. That's why when my daddy said, get up, I didn't give him none of this. I'll be up in a minute. Because I knew if I didn't get up, the next time he went by the door, there were going to be ice cold water hitting me in the face. I had lost my sermon. I'm still with it. The Bible said Jacob wrestled with a guy. And all of a sudden, the guy and him's wrestling around. About that time, Jacob really begins to realize who he is and how his life's gone off course and how he's run from everybody and caused problems for everybody. And about that time, he makes up his mind, I'm not running anymore. I've had my bait of that. And he grabs a guy and he said, I'm going to hang on to you till no matter what time happens. The guy said, let me go. Jacob says, I will not let thee go until you bless me. Now, church, let me ask you something. If you're fighting with a guy that could take one finger, hit your hip, pop it out of joint, make the muscle disappear, does he have to ask you to let him go? Huh? I just want you to understand about this fight. It's not a physical fight. Because the guy takes one finger, blows his hip completely out so that Jacob drugged that leg the rest of his life. But Jacob locks down on him now and says, uh-oh, I can't run. I can't connive. I can't scheme anymore. I got one option. That's this dude I'm wrestling with. And he hangs on to him. He said, I don't care if it breaks day. Till you bless me, I'm not turning you loose. And the angel looks at him and said, what's your name? He said, my name's liar, supplanter, deceiver. He said, not anymore. From now on, you'll be called Israel. From now on, you will be called the Prince of God. From now on, God will fight your battles. From now on, the Holy Spirit will abide and guide you and lead you. Church, some of us need to have a wrestling match in a tent like Jacob did. We're outside that Jordan of our life, and we need to get a hold of God and say, God, I'm tired of being who I am. I'm tired of business as usual. I'm tired of everything blowing up in my face. I'm ready to sell out to God and let God take a hold of my life. And when he will, God will begin to fight your battles, and God will begin to give you victory. Glory. Moving on. That was Jacob's Jordan. But what does it take to cross Jordan? And I'm not going to get through this. Maybe. Number one, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. And God will do wonders among you. Anything that would offend the Spirit of God in our lives can keep us from crossing Jordan. I've never understood why we Pentecostals who believe you can get sanctified don't want to practice sanctification. We want to get this cop out.
Well, you know, everybody's wrong and everybody got problems and this is just my problem and God doesn't care.
Yes, he does. God hates sin. It doesn't matter whose life it's in.
And we got this idea, well, I'm just doing the same thing. Well, then quit doing the same thing. Well, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. No, get on your knees and make a spiritual revelation. We in the Church of God believe you can be sanctified by the blood. That's his salvation. By the Spirit, the work of the Holy Ghost, to lead, guide, and direct you away from the things of this world. And by the Word of God, which is a continual process where you find things are wrong and get them out of your life. And I've never understood why we like to wallow in the mire and then brag about a God that keeps forgiving when we ought to get out of the mire so we can help somebody else that's in that mud. So the light of the preacher would get up from his church every Sunday. Well, I failed again this week. They didn't know what he was telling them, but he was committing adultery every week. Getting on the pulpit. Well, I failed again this week. Pray for me. Oh, God, forgive. You're the God of the second chance. Wasn't a second chance. Kept doing the same thing. Anybody know what repentance is? Turn away from. You don't repent and keep doing it. If you repent it, you get it out of your life and you don't go back to it. And God described it this way. You don't do like a dog and eat your own vomit. Oh, I see somebody go, ooh. Well, I'm sorry, but have you ever seen a dog? Oh, I remember that. That's good. You got a couple of dogs, they'll fight over it. I don't even like my own vomit, much less somebody else's. You can gag and I'll fill up a floor for you. I went deep sea fishing. This dude got sick right up wind from me and started throwing up, so I started throwing up. And old guy come by and said, you got a weak stomach? I said, no, I'm throwing it as far as he is. I just got the signal and need to move on. But the truth's the truth. Some of y'all keep eating the same junk you've been throwing up for years, and you keep talking about, well, you know, I can't get away from this. You can't because you don't want to. You make a notion you want to get away from it. You don't have to be that way. Listen, they won't let me at Alcoholics Anonymous in Tuscaloosa anymore because they asked me to come speak there one time. I gave my testimony, and I said, I'm no longer an alcoholic. The guy said, oh, you'll always be one. I said, no, I've been born again. Old things passed away. All things have become new. I'm no longer an alcoholic. That guy come by and said, well, we really don't need you to come back. Volunteered to counsel at Bryce Hospital. I go out there one day and they got my card stamped, persona non grata. I don't know Latin or whatever that was. I said, what does that mean? He said, person not wanted. I said, what does that mean? He said, well, unless that man pulls that off, I can't let you in anymore. Then I found out there was a loophole. If somebody in there asked to see me, I could get in. And they started putting people in there that wanted to see me, and I started going in anyway. And that guy come by and said, what are you doing in here? And she said, I asked for her. You know, he threw her out. Amen. He wanted me to teach a 12-step program. That's wonderful, but every one of their 12 steps got a 13th. Once they get out of there, they go do it again because they never get anything to replace the problem, so they keep going back. I got to tell you something, honey. You get Christ in your life, you don't need all that other junk. Come on, church. Amen. I'm not talking about something I don't know where I'm coming from. I've been there, and I've done that, and I wore the T-shirt, and I remember a night when Christ came into my life, and my life began to change, and I made up my mind. I'm following him, and I'm crossing the Jordan that's in front of me, and I'm not going back over there. The promises are on the other side, and it doesn't matter what it takes. I want out of it. I want into his presence. I think it's time we quit running around. God started running to him. Oh, that's good preaching. Come on, church. I think we ought to get to the place where we realize you can live without having to do some stuff. Oh, I can't help it. Yes, you can.
If you know it's wrong, you keep doing it. It is your fault you keep doing it. You can repent. You can get a hold of God, and God will keep you from doing that again. Hide the word of God in your heart that it might be a light unto your path, that you might not sin against me. So if I read this book, it's going to help me figure out what's wrong in my life and straighten it out. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if I pray and I get in the Spirit, then the body is no longer dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if I walk in the Spirit, I walk in newness of life. Well, preacher, you ain't got scripture for that. Oh, yes, I do. Romans chapter 6, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? For know ye not that as many of you were baptized unto Christ, you were baptized also unto his death. And like as Christ was raised from the grave by the glory of the Father, we also walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Say, what are you talking about? He started that with, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. Why? He said, get sanctified, live right. It's not hard to do if you put the tools together. Somebody said, I don't like legalism. I don't either. But I like loyalism. Glory. You get a hold of God, get close to him. Legalism ain't going to cross your breath. You're going to want to live right because you want to be next to him. You're going to want to live right because you want to get through those problems. You're going to want to live right because the blessings that God's going to put in your life for what you've done. Come on, church. Oh, that's good preaching. Listen, church. We got too many people that get to a certain place in their life and they never go any farther because they're not willing to cross that Jordan that's in front of them. They're not willing to see the change take place in their life that's got to happen. But I got to tell you, church, after a while, you got to realize only those that make the change are going to make the other change. Until you've crossed Jordan into the royalty of God's love and really get to that place where you can live right, don't expect to cross the Jordan between you and heaven. Because you don't have the ability to do so yet. Oh, come on, church. That's good preaching.
Well, I'm not perfect. I'm not either.
But I'm working on it, and I'm not using an excuse to go do whatever I want to do and then claim God can't help me. When you tell me God can't cleanse you of sin, you're not turning down the fact that you got too much sin. You're turning down the fact that God can't do it. And my God can do it. My God can take away that sin. My God can take you out of the pits of hell, set you upright, and cleanse you of everything that's in your life. If we will let him, God will give you peace, and God will give you integrity, and God will give you the ability to overcome the things of your life. But as long as you won't, you can keep wallowing in the mire, eating the vomit, and talking about, oh, yeah, I love God. He loves me. But if you really love God, sell out to him, get over that Jordan and get through into the promises of God and let the power of God move in your life. Could you say, oh. This wasn't even about this, but this is where we ended up. Glory. Stand with me all over the house.